Amen. Well, I thought y'all pitched some babies. Amen. We got two we can throw in the air to one another tonight. Amen. Ain't it good to be saved?
Amen.
All right. Go with me. John 14. I need you to listen for just a few minutes. I'm going to give you some things and a burden that's on my heart. Has been on my heart going back. We're almost a month away from it. And we had the services with Preacher Wells. I've made mention of this particular thing, a verse that he referenced. And it has begun to consume me, not necessarily for, I didn't think it was for preaching. It's just kind of been some things personally, God, just some statements Preacher Wells made. Some of y'all have referenced it as well. In fact, Brother Carl made mention a week or two ago. He said, I knew that it got you, something to that effect. And he's pretty perceptive. I've been just meditating on some things in my personal devotions. And I've really bogged down in this. I'm not just reading scores and scores of chapters of the Bible. I've just been meditating, thinking on, and reading very specifically about the fact that Jesus promised, Brother Wells reminded us, Jesus promised that he would manifest himself. He would manifest himself. And I want to read some verses here. And I think tonight I'm just going to talk to you for a moment and give you some things from the scripture and just some things I'm thinking on with the idea in mind. Here's what we asked Preacher Wells. We asked Preacher Wells, but Tim, should we be praying for revival? Should we be praying for revival? And he didn't condemn that. He said that was fine to pray for revival. But I don't think I'll ever forget it. I've wrote it down, not just on paper. I did write it on paper, but I've wrote it up here, and I'm praying the Holy Ghost is writing it in my heart. The better way to be praying is that we pray for the Lord to manifest himself. We need God to manifest himself. Now here's the verse or the section verses I want to read that include the verse that Preacher Wells quoted to us. And I'll give you a few things tonight. I want to do it tonight. I want to do it next Wednesday night and then the following Wednesday night. And not just in preparation for youth revival. For that, we want God to manifest himself during the youth revival. But in our own personal lives specifically and then in our church, we need God to manifest himself. And as I've thought on this, say some things I think we really need to get a hold of about the Lord manifesting himself. And if he promised that, and we're to be praying in that direction, what would that look like if the Lord did? How do we get there? How do we get ourselves ready for what that would look like? And this should not be deep. It's just, I feel like it's a bigger thing than I can wrap my arms around, but I feel like it's something the Lord laid on my heart. Was praying about maybe going back to Psalms and give you some things we've been preparing from there. But I felt definitely, and I think y'all understand when I say this, I felt definitely impressed of the Lord. This was the direction we're supposed to go for this service tonight. So I'm not going to be long. Let's look at these verses. John 14, I even let you stay seated. And John, I love how that sounds right there. If you can just leave me be right there, all right? John 14, verse number 19. This is our Savior. Anybody, let's do it this way. Let's get ourselves just real comfortable fellowshipping around the Word of God. When we come to John 14, where are we physically? Where are we with the Lord? Anybody know? That's right. He's going to go to the garden just in a few hours. So where does that back us up? Where are we sitting with the Lord at? We're in the upper room. We're in the upper room. This is the most intimate setting Christ will ever draw his disciples in. He's going to touch them in ways He's never touched them. He's going to do things for them in that upper room he never did anywhere else. He sits him down, and in the stillness of that evening, here's what he said, John 14, verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me, notice that phrase, seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Everybody says, well, he loves everybody. Well, Jesus is getting more personal about it. Amen. We can all walk in here tonight and say, well, God loves the world. God loves everybody. Jesus is not talking about his love for everybody. Jesus is talking about his love for somebody very specifically and very personally. I will love him. Now don't miss it. And will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? We'll leave off our reading there. I may reference a few verses following that as we close here in just a moment. But we come to this word we're focused in on, and it is the word manifest. Jesus said, I'm going to love that man that has been given my commandments. He possesses a knowledge of what I say is right and wrong, what he is to do and not do. And that man not only possesses that knowledge, but he says he is taking that knowledge and he is keeping those commandments and the word that he has been instructed. Now, what is that evidence of? That is evidence according to what Jesus said in John 14, verse 21. He it is that loveth me. This is the proof that you love the Savior. Not that you say you love the Savior, but that you are following this prescription, that you have been given knowledge, you have been given commandments, and that you're walking in those commandments. You're keeping them. You're diligent about applying them in your life. You don't want to turn to the right or to the left. You want to, it is your desire in your life to be right with what God has shown you to be right.
Amen.
Amen. And so he says here, that this man, this woman, this child of God is going to be loved of the Father, and that Christ is going to love him, and that he will manifest. Jesus said, I will manifest myself to him. The word manifest, when you look it up, I've been doing this, I've been studying the scripture, the word manifest. I'm interested in that because Jesus makes a promise. I will manifest myself to this man, to this person, or to these kind of people. I will manifest myself. Here's what I found. The word manifest, Brother Tim, is used 39 times. That's a pretty good number of a subject in the Word of God. 39 times in 37 verses, you will find the word manifest. It is used in another form, manifested, and this is only two ways it's used, manifest or manifested. Manifested is used another 10 times in 9 verses, and so 49 times in the Bible, you're going to read the word manifest or manifested. Interesting, I found, Brother Mike, this to be very, very interesting of these 49 times that you find this word manifest or manifested. Only one time is it used in the Old Testament. So 48 times you find the word manifest always connected to the New Testament. Watch this here. And there's something I found it to be very, very special. In fact, if you want to look there, Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'll give you a thought here in just a moment back in our text, but Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and in verse number 18, here's what the preacher said. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men. That's all of us here tonight. That God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. You know what Solomon is saying? You know what the preacher is saying? This is the only place the word manifest is used in the Old Testament, and it is in connection with God allowing men to have manifested them to see the lowly estate of our fallen nature. Everybody here is the sons of men are sinners. Everybody here is sons of men and connected with your Adamic nature. You are wicked. You are of low estate. There is nothing good about you. You're no better than the beasts of the field. Do you know that is the message of the entirety of the Old Testament? It is that it doesn't matter what environment that you put a man in, he always comes out a sinner. He always comes out wicked. He's always in worse shape than what, however good the beginning of the condition was and environment was you put him in, because his problem is not his environment. His problem is that he is wicked to the core, and that is what the Old Testament condemns all of us to be. Now, you and I know, and that is the theme of the New Testament, that Christ is manifest all through the Old Testament, and we understand the mysteries that are hid there for us to find, that Christ is there. But as far as you and I are concerned, if the Old Testament is manifesting anything about us, it is that we are sinners and that we need a darling Savior. Amen. Now, what does when you come and you bridge that gap from the Old Testament to the New Testament, amen, and now we're going to find 48 times manifest, manifested, manifest, manifested. And amazingly, many of those references are into reference into Christ. Let me give you one. Jesus said, I will manifest myself unto him. Can I say what he is promising to do for his children? He did by way of his own condescension. Here's what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, speaking of the mystery of godliness. Amen. The mystery of godliness, what is it? Number one, that God was manifest in the flesh. Now, the Old Testament is manifesting. Men's in trouble. Man can't come to God. Man is no better than the beast of the field. And man is of such a lonely estate, he will never attain to salvation in his own means. But we come to the New Testament, and Christ is manifest, God is manifest through Christ in the flesh to bring salvation to you and to me. And so he has been manifesting himself for a long, long time now. He manifested himself in his condescension, in the virgin birth, in the fact and he was conceived in the virgin womb of Mary of the Holy Ghost and took on the nature and the form of a servant made in the likeness of men. He has already manifest himself to the world and to you and I, and we might be brought to God through means that you and I could have never attained in ourselves. And so this matter of Christ manifesting himself, he has the ability, he has proven, he is the only one who can manifest himself in a way that will bring men to God. Amen. And so, what are you saying, preacher? What I'm trying to say tonight is, without Christ and his manifestation, there is nothing we can know about God or spiritual things. It took him coming and manifesting himself in flesh for us to know anything about salvation. Amen. And you say, well, I know about that. I've embraced that. I understand he's manifest himself. But that is not the end of the way he desires to manifest himself. Jesus said it, all right? Don't argue with me. You have to argue with the Lord. Brother Jesse, notice what the verse said. He said, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And so he has been manifest to the world. We'll see that in a moment again, or a different angle of it. But he said in verse number 19, yet a little while the world seeth me no more. I have already manifest myself in the world and to the world in the fact that I, as God, has manifest myself in the flesh. But that'll bring man salvation. That'll bring a man salvation. Jesus said, that may be where it begins, but that is not where it ends. I'm interested in bringing a man beyond salvation and beyond an introduction to grace and beyond an introduction of what it is to have eternal life and to hold hands with God. I want those that know me and have seen that manifestation to have an ongoing manifestation. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Amen. I didn't mean to get all preachy to you. What does that word mean? Manifest. It's a big word. It is a huge word. Manifest. It means just literally to exhibit in person. A display, if you will. There's a display that is being given. When the Lord said, I will manifest myself to him, he is saying that I'm going to display who I am, what I'm about, and what I can do. I'm going to put all of that on display for that person. Amen. It means this. I give you this in the revival last week, just part of some of my musings. But it not only carries a definition of display, and the Lord's about to give me a whole outline while I'm giving you my musings here, but it means to disclose by words. Not only to put on display, but to give a discourse, to disclose by words, that there is a communication that is involved. A speaking, there is an intimate conversation that is going to take place, that when the Lord manifests himself to this man, to this woman, to these young people, he is saying, I am in very personal tones going to communicate with them and speak to them. Now, we understand that there is a way in which God speaks to all of us through his word. Amen. Can I tell you though, the Lord talks to his children personally. There's some things I've seen lately, and I understand, I think the warnings, I think it was Sam showed me something that somebody had posted and they were being negative about preachers getting up and saying, the Lord spoke to my heart. And they were saying, this needs to stop because all we have is the Word of God and that's all we need to go. You do realize what Jesus said in John chapter number 10, my sheep, they know my voice, they hear my voice. Jesus is saying, I speak to my children personally. Now, what he speaks to me personally will never contradict what he has said in his word, but make no mistake about it, my Savior talks to me.
Right. Amen.
Not in audible voices. I'm not talking about the spooky dookie. I'm talking about in the still small voice to my little heart and sometimes through my mind and sometimes in my spirit that there is the fact that the Lord discloses things by words and his voice into my heart. I have no problem saying that. And if you're truly saved, you know what that is. Jesus promised with salvation, you would know the voice of your Savior. Amen. So they can criticize that all they want. My God speaks to me and tells me what to do.
Amen.
Riding down the road without the King James Bible open, my Savior speaks to me. Now he speaks to me when that book's open, and it is wonderful. Somebody said, "Oh, you talk about an audible voice." One preacher said, "Oh no, it's far louder than that."
Amen.
Are you listening? When the Lord manifests himself, he does so that he might disclose words and he might let us hear his voice, that he may speak to us in a certain way in which there is no doubt about it that our Savior is talking to us.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it is for him to manifest himself. It means just to make oneself apparent. In other words, the Lord is saying, and well, I don't know how much more I'm going to give you. I'm getting too far carried away as it is, but it means to make oneself apparent. The Lord is saying that the man that has my commandments, the one that is keeping them and is proving in reality that they love me, my Father is going to let them know he loves them. I'm going to let them know I love them, and then I'm going to manifest myself to them. I'm going to let them know the reality of my presence.
Amen.
The realness of my touch. The reality that they are going to be in a no matter where they are physically, no matter where they are emotionally, no matter what condition that the doctor says they're in, others say they're in, or they say they're in, if they will get a hold of my commandments and keep them and love me, I will love them and will manifest myself to them. They will know the reality that I am with them.
Amen.
Do you know that? Have you ever been overwhelmed with the fact that the Lord had just manifested himself to you? Is his presence real? Listen, I'm glad I had dead religion before I got saved. I could be in the middle of a service where the Lord was moving and not be connected to the reality of his presence. It wasn't apparent to me what was going on and who was in the house. And though maybe I could say, man, it looks like Jack, he's got something, he's tapped into something I'm not tapped into. I don't know anything about what he's in right now. I could see Sister Biddle out in the aisle shouting and jumping up and down and screaming like an Indian woman. Brother Mark, I could watch all that and I could go, there's something real on her and in her and to her that I know nothing about. What was going on? God, her Savior, her God, her Lord was manifested. And I'm not saying that that's how you act. I can show you because I've been studying this. There's a lot of ways you'll act, different ways you'll act when the Lord manifests himself. I remember being a lost teenage boy going, there's something real to her that I do not know about. But these last 26 years, I've been saying, now I know, Sister Biddle, shout on, I'll shout with you. Yeah, man, why? Because there's been a manifestation that has come in the flesh and has brought salvation. And it did not end there. It did not end there. He allows us to know if we'll walk with him the revelation, the reality of a revelation of himself. Do you know about that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This word manifest has with it implications. Oh, you got to get this. Y'all ready? The implication of this word manifest that Christ is promising, it gives an implication that one is allowing or letting themselves be intimately known and understood. Intimately known and understood. Do you know him intimately? Can you ride down the road in your automobile on your way to work and know what it is to be in the intimate presence of Christ? Can you go crawl up in the secret place, your private closet, to get a hold of God and enter in there knowing that there you have intimate fellowship with the God of heaven? What do you understand about him? You never understand all about him. You'll not understand all there is to know about your Savior, but do you understand anything about him? This is not said in pride. I do. You should. You can. He's promising, I will manifest myself to him. I will let myself be intimately known. I will let that man enter in, that woman enter in, that young person, as young as they may be, they're saved, they're my child. I will allow them to understand some things about me.
Amen.
That blows my mind. Do you know it? Do you understand? Do you know him? Do you understand him? Do you have any knowledge of the Holy One?
Amen.
This is what the Lord is promising. I will manifest myself to him. I'm telling you, this thing's bigger than I can wrap my arms around. I'll give you at least two, maybe I'll throw this third thought out. It's not alliterated. All right? Here's what I want you to understand. Manifest. I will manifest myself unto him. If you're taking notes, write it down this way. In this text, here's what I learned. Jesus does not manifest himself to everyone.
Amen.
I need to say that again. Jesus does not manifest himself to everyone.
Amen.
He sets the parameters. You got to be given his commandments. You've got to have received them, and you have to be keeping them in your life.
Amen.
You've got to be loving on the Lord. I believe we could say, number one, you got to be saved, and being saved is where it all begins. But from there, you've got to be in line with what he has said in the Word of God that you need to be doing. We could run it on out. From baptism to being a soul winner, to being a witness, to walking in the Spirit, to denying the flesh, to putting aside the old man and putting on the new man, and to be praying and all the commandments that he gives us in the Word of God, and be saying, I want to know what he says. I want to be right with what he says is right. Jesus does not manifest himself to everyone. But he doesn't leave us in the dark. He gives us the prescription and the parameters whereby we can align ourselves with these things so that when he gets ready to manifest himself, we're there to say, oh Lord, I need to hear your word. Lord, I'm enjoying hearing your voice. I'm enjoying having you display your presence. I'm enjoying feeling the touch and the blessings and the joy and the peace that come from you manifesting yourself.
Amen.
Not everyone is going to know that. And that ain't Jesus' fault. Amen. He made the promise, but this promise comes with some conditions.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You say, I do not know what it is for the Lord to manifest himself in my life. Jesus is only going to do that for those that he is dealing with in this text.
Yes, sir.
And you'll spend, listen, you may be saved, but you'll live out the rest of your saved days until you line up with what, here's how we're wording it tonight, it's how the Lord's put it in my heart, till you get right with what you've told is right, been told and taught and trained and commanded is right, you'll spend the rest of the days of your saved life on earth without the Lord showing himself to you. And if you're saying in your heart, oh well, no big deal, I doubt you've ever been saved. If you're truly saved, there's something in your heart right now. If you've never been aware of of the Savior manifesting himself to you, how we've tried, and I know we're not doing a great job, but how we've defined it tonight. If you are truly saved, there's something in your heart saying, I ain't had that yet, but I would like to.
Right. Right.
Amen. Jesus did not manifest himself to everyone.
Right.
Amen. Watch this here. It dovetails with that thought in this text. Jesus cannot be seen by some while simultaneously in the same moment be seen by others. Did y'all get that? That ain't that deep, is it? Y'all look like I just went over your head. You know what Jesus is saying in this text? There are some that do not possess the ability to see me, while in the same setting, others are seeing the manifestation. I watch it happen in services all the time. Amen. Watch it. Now I'll end here. I won't give you the third one. We'll pick up there on next week. Yet a little while, verse number 19, and the world seeth me no more. You know what Jesus just said? The world, he's saying they see me now physically, but after that, after I'm dead and buried and raised again and ascend the Father, they will not be able to see me. They will not possess the ability to see me. But Jesus said, notice what he said, but ye see me. There is a dividing line in this thing of Christ manifesting himself. The reason some, y'all gonna love this. Brother Carl told me Sunday night I beat up on y'all a little bit, all right? I didn't beat up on you. That's just how it come through on the other end. Are y'all listening? You know what the dividing line is? Worldliness. People who are of the world and are even saved and yet are worldly in their thinking, their heart, and their life, they cannot see the Lord.
Right. Right.
Can't. You can walk into a service where the Lord is moving and everybody else except you in the building is seeing a manifestation of the Lord and you won't be able to see it.
Right. Right.
Are y'all listening? That's what Jesus said. Amen. Judas asked the question when the Lord said, I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not the world? How can that be that some will see you and feel you and hear you and know you and love you while you're loving them? And others are not going to be able to have any of that. Lucas, it is our relationship to the world.
Amen.
I know I'm supposed to be devoting. This is good preaching right here. If you want a manifestation, if you want it and I want it, if your family or my family wants it, if our church is going to say, here's what Brother Wells said, pray for revival, don't think there's anything wrong with that. What we ought to be praying for is the Lord to manifest himself.
Amen.
We can pray about that all night long. We're going to pray about it here in a moment. But if we don't take care of our relationship to the world, you can pray till you pass out. We are not going to see the Lord manifest himself.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That's the dividing line. You can't think like the world, be operating like the world, be governed like the world. Amen. Set in a direction the world is going and think you're just going to have the manifestation of the presence of God in your life and all that it brings. And it brings some wonderful things. I've been pondering this for a month. I'm telling you, I ain't got time to deal with it tonight. When the Lord manifests himself, he has everything there you need.
Amen.
But the dividing line that keeps us shut out from it is our relationship to the world.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
The world saw him physically, but they could never see what he was about. The Pharisees seen him in bodily form, and because they were of the world, they were able to even deny even what their physical eyes were seeing. There's a little ragtag bunch of 12 men the Lord has put his touch on, and they have embraced salvation, minus Judas Iscariot. And they know who he is. They know what he's about. They hear what he's saying. He says, I'm telling you, the day is coming, the world will see me no more, but I will still be seen by those that love me enough to be right with what is right.
Amen.
Ain't that good?
Yes,
that ain't hard, that is good. That's not pounding you down tonight. That's giving you hope that you can have. You can know his manifestation. You can feel his touch. You can hear his word tonight. The promise is you can have this. We can pray and trust it and believe tonight. Amen. To the point that it becomes a reality. All he says is, just don't be like the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. He may not be seen, he may not can be seen to some. But I'm glad he said there in verse number 19, ye see me. Have you seen him today?
Amen.
Say, preacher, it's Wednesday night. I'm tired. I've worked all day. Join the crowd. Have you seen him today?
Amen.
Have you felt his touch today?
Amen.
I was doing the best I can. Why? There's more than the best you can.
Amen.
Oh, I wish I could cut loose, Brother Gerald, and preach. I told you I wasn't going to be long. I'm almost 2 minutes past where I wanted to stop. Are y'all listening? Do you realize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is not hindered or confined or held back from where we are physically positioned at tonight? Wherever you're medically positioned at, wherever you're emotionally positioned at, has nothing to do with your spiritual position that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Do you want him to manifest? Do you need him? Oh, surely we would all agree with that. I need him to manifest himself. I need him to manifest himself. And you may not even realize what all that means. I'm going to show you, amen, next Wednesday night or sometime over the next few weeks. You do need him to manifest himself. You can't make it. That's why some of y'all struggling, you're sinking right now. You've been trying to do it all on your own without a manifestation of him. You can read all the how-to books, the books for dummies, and the books for, amen. I'm telling you, you are not going to do it without the Lord manifesting Himself. You need it. Do you have it? Do you know about it? Do you know how to experience it? Amen. Somebody better be praying about it. Should we pray about that? Preacher Wells said we should probably be, I think the way he worded it is, it would be better to pray while you're praying for revival, pray God manifest yourself.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 7, everybody knows verse number 14, the great promise. Before chapter number 7, there's a rather lengthy prayer of Solomon, where Solomon is praying to the Lord, committing the temple he's just built to the Lord. The Bible said when Solomon had ended his prayer, that the fire of God came down out of heaven, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I would submit to you that is an example or an illustration of God manifesting Himself. And it came after a man prayed and sought the face of God and made some vows and begged the Lord, would you show up in this place today?
Amen.
Amen. So I say with Preacher Wells, it would be a good thing to be praying about.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Does that make some sense tonight?
Amen.
Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. And in prayer, you seek the face of the Lord. If there's areas of your life where you're not right with what you know to be right, get right. This church needs you to be right with what you know is right. And you not be that is holding back the Lord from manifesting Himself. Or when He does, you being on the outside, though you're inside, being on the outside, looking in, wondering, well, I wish I could feel that or know that or hear that. You can. Amen.